Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin in a moment and go to Greece and talk with Dimitri Papadimitriou, who is the president of the Levy Economics Institute and professor of economics at Bard College. With Greece on the precipice of default that could unravel the Eurozone, we'll get an update on how soon the crunch will come and how the chips will fall. Then we'll speak with an expert on Yemen, Charles Schmitz, who is the president of the American Institute of Yemeni Studies. Following recent mass shootings of street protesters, we will discuss the possibility of a civil war as the sons of the ailing dictator cling to power in defiance of the demands of the people. Then finally, on the eve of the execution of a man who many consider innocent, we will examine the case of Troy Davis, whose execution tomorrow at 4 p.m. local time seems all but inevitable, following the denial of clemency by the Georgia Pardons Board. Actor and activist Mike Farrell joins us. He is the president of Death Penalty Focus. Let's now go to Greece. Joining us now is Dimitri Papadimitriou, who is president of the Levy Economics Institute and Jerome Levy Professor of Economics at Bard College. He has testified on a number of occasions in hearings of the United States Senate and the House of Representatives committees of the U.S. Congress and was vice chairman of the Trade Deficit Review Commission of the U.S. Congress and was a member of the Competitiveness Policy Subcouncil on Capital Allocation. He was also a distinguished scholar at the Shanghai Academy of Social Sciences. Welcome to Background Briefing, Dimitri Papadimitriou.
Thank you very much for having me.
And you are in Greece as we speak, and it feels in many ways that Greece is on the precipice when you have the head of the IMF warning that we could be facing a global recession or even depression. What is the problem? It seems to me that the overall problem here, and I guess to some extent is the same here in the United States, is that there seems to be an incredible gap between economic realities and political possibilities.
Well, I think the difficulty is that to recognize that Greece is not really a single problem. It's not only one country, but it is the whole Eurozone that it is in jeopardy. When you have all these bonds, Greek bonds that are outstanding, that they are denominated in a common currency, it is actually the responsibility, at least the investors believe, of the responsibility of the entire Eurozone. So when there is a teetering sort of decision about what to do and what not to do, markets do not like to see this kind of irrationality because the treatment is irrational. There are examples that the European Central Bank could look to its brethren in the United States, like the Federal Reserve, see that indeed if it were to assume or at least say that there is no difficulty with any of the bonds, whether these bonds are issued by the Greek government or the Italian government, or at least country, I should say, not government, or the Portugal or Ireland, they are actually denominated in a currency which the European Central Bank stands behind. Instead, there is a response that this is not a problem of the European Central Bank. It is a problem of individual countries. But that's not how the European project or the Euro project was actually conceived. It conceived first the Eurozone as a political union, and then the only way to bring it about, to make it economic union, it was the monetary union. Well, but that's an incomplete project. And dealing it as if, in fact, this is how it's going to be, it creates a problem for the entire Eurozone, and it cannot be isolated to Greece or even to the periphery.
But the problem, surely, Dimitri Papadimitriou, is that the Germans don't see it that way, at least the German public. They think they've got a choice when, in fact, they really don't have a choice. But obviously, Angela Merkel feels the political heat where the German population are quite angry at this situation. Now, of course, ironically, at least to my mind, what's happening here is that at the end of the day, it's not necessarily the Greek people who are being bailed out here. It is the German banks and the French banks. So,
absolutely.
So why
there
don't we have a little honesty here?
Billion euros that are being of Greek bonds that are being held in the balance sheets of the Greek of the German banks, and it's more than that in the French balance sheets of banks, and even some, not to the same extent, in the Netherlands. And in the rest of the European countries. So therefore, it's not a Greek problem. Now, I understand fully that the German people have been told that Greeks don't work very hard, they go to the beach a lot, they retire very early, they don't work as hard as the Germans do, and so on. And therefore, that clearly doesn't sit well if someone says that we will have to bail them out, and therefore we will have to work towards bailing them out. But, you know, this is actually a misunderstanding of what the Eurozone is all about. Those bonds are issued the same as the German bonds are. And what I said is that exactly the Federal Reserve has done to buy all these bonds, to, in some ways, for a different purpose, for quantitative easing, in Germany, the understanding is that the European Central Bank is supposed to do nothing but to maintain a price stability. And, you know, we have an individual who, unfortunately, forgive me, but he's not very smart. He raises interest rates. I'm talking actually about Jean-Claude Trichet, who raises interest rates thinking that, you know, inflation is around the corner. And now he sees that, in fact, GDP, even for Germany, is going to not show any growth for next year or for the rest of this year. So it's clearly a misunderstanding of what the situation is all about. And that doesn't help the German voter. And that's why we see that actually Angela Merkel doesn't stand very well and doesn't stand very well to get reelected. And we see that the changes in all countries, same problem might be actually with Sarkozy.
Again, I'm speaking with Dimitri Papadimitriou, who is president of the Levy Economics Institute and the Jerome Levy Professor of Economics at Bard College. He is in Greece as we speak, and we're talking about Greece at the precipice, given that some economists believe a default may be inevitable. And there also, by the way, a lot of economists seem to think that maybe a default is the better way out, and, you know, not just inevitable, but perhaps the better choice, given the mountain of debt.
What is absolutely clear is that Greece cannot actually service the debt that has been accumulating, will continue to accumulate in an economy that it is in the recession. It is accepted that this year the recession is going to show a negative GDP growth of close to 6%. A negative growth rate in 2012, and possibly even a zero growth in 2013. Well, while you're doing this, you need to service at least only to pay the interest of the outstanding debt equivalent to 8% of your GDP. So the dynamics of debt make it impossible for this level of debt to be serviced and to continue to accumulate until Greece becomes competitive to deal not only in the European markets but in the global markets. Therefore, the default is inevitable. It's only a matter of time, and I believe that it's going to happen much sooner than we think. And that's why I think that we see those cries from the IMF, as well as a plan B that it's being promoted from Germany, to have a default, but it is basically a controlled default. It's not something that it happens, you know, a disorderly manner, for which it creates a European crisis and perhaps an American crisis and a global crisis.
Now, would a controlled default mean that Greece would leave the Eurozone and go back to the drachma?
It doesn't necessarily mean that it will leave the Eurozone. What it would mean is that the recognition that Greece cannot actually pay that level of debt, and that will necessarily become a debt of, the European Financial Stability Facility or any other organization that the European Union will establish.
So what do you give the chances of this happening? Because it seems to me we're in the worst of all possible situations where Secretary of Treasury Timothy Guyton, who was just in Europe for the finance ministers meeting in Poland, he said that the problem has always been that the European political authorities have been behind the curve, and they seem to be behind the curve still. And, of course, the markets are acting fast and the politicians are acting slow. And at this point, what would you suggest is going to happen?
Well, the markets say that, the CDSs are trading at the level that they anticipate an 80% likelihood of a default, which means that if the markets believe that, what happens is a self-fulfilling prophecy. Even though in this particular case, the dynamics are such that the default is the only answer for Greece actually to get out of it. And the examples of Argentina and other countries actually show it. It doesn't mean that this is going to be good for Greece or for the Greek people, but it's not good for the Greek people what's happening now. The government is actually in panic. It doesn't know what to do. It suggests things in order to get the next installment, but those things it suggests, those measures, austerity measures that you will undertake, cannot actually be fulfilled.
Well,
so it's easy to just say that I would do, and I'm sure they have valiant efforts to do it, but it's not happening. You know, there's a huge the unemployment is rapidly accelerating. Businesses are closing. There are demonstrations in Greece. There is a civil unrest. Those kinds of things are really indications that continuing on this path, it's really going to ultimately be a catastrophe. So I think that the realization will come probably faster from Germany and from France, from the rest of the European Union countries, than actually from Greece.
Well, of course, we know that austerity doesn't work. It certainly is not working in England, and to a lesser degree, you've had signs or indications of the kind of rioting that you're talking about. We're obviously being forced into austerity over here by the Republicans in the debt ceiling deal from that hostage crisis. So there seems to be a global problem with economics where there is this dogma out there. In our case, it's the deficit dogma. And in the case of the Europeans, the part of this that I don't understand is that only the borrowers get punished, not the lenders. If the borrowers borrow more than they can pay back, obviously that's irresponsible and there's moral hazard involved. But why is it that when the lenders lend irresponsibly, they don't get punished? In fact, they get bailed out by the taxpayer.
You're absolutely correct. That is exactly what is happening. And the global economic crisis that was falling on us in 2007, and we're still enduring it to some extent, we haven't learned any lessons. And unfortunately, even economists in our profession haven't actually been able to understand that the difficulties are that you cannot deal with only the bankers that supposedly are too interconnected and therefore they're too big to fail, as opposed to thinking that households in total, they are too interconnected and are also too big to fail. But this requires spectacular leadership to understand on the political sphere. They are not Frank Roosevelt anymore, even though he also has some difficulties in coming to terms to be able to do what he did in terms of the New Deal. But those kinds of things are no longer possible. We see what's happening with President Obama. We see what's happening with the leaders in Europe. And you're quite correct. We're very eager to provide the stability to the banking system, but we couldn't care less about what happens to households. We couldn't care what happens to small businesses.
So, Dimitri Papadimitriou, again, the president of the Levy Economics Institute and the Jerome Levy Professor of Economics at Bard College, who is in Greece as we speak, and Greece is at the precipice. Dimitri just mentioned a moment ago that he feels that the default on the debt is inevitable. Give us a sense of the timeline and what you expect to be the reaction of the markets.
My suspicion is that, you know, the markets are looking for something, but they're not only focusing on Greece, they're focusing on Italy. As we all know, there was just a downgrade of some Italian banks. There have been a downgrade on some French banks. So the markets basically, if one sees them yesterday, the CDSs were 5,900 basis points above the German bonds for 5 years, for the Greek bonds. So we're talking about markets knowing that even though the European Union and the ECB might approve this next installment for Greece because of Greece's, of the government's promises to do all kinds of other things, the next installment is in December. I doubted that the government actually would be in power by the end of December to actually negotiate for the next installment of the rescue package.
So do you think that the Greek people will vote in?
I don't think the Greek people would vote back because, you know, the government has to declare elections. Right. But I think there's some disintegration from their own party.
Right.
They know that, you know, you can't always follow the leader if the leader actually has a path that it leads to nowhere.
Well, I was going to suggest that if they vote for the Conservatives who put the country in this hole, and with the help of Goldman Sachs who helped hide their sovereign debt, it somewhat reminds me of what could happen here in the United States, where the American people in their anger and confusion could in fact vote the Republicans in 2012, even though the Republican administration under George W. Bush largely caused the problem. So is there an analogy there?
No, absolutely, but I am not suggesting that that the results of the elections are going to be good. I think it will be terrible, because what might most likely happen is that a coalition government between the present socialist, so to speak, party and the conservative party, which of course is going to be a disaster. The point is there has to come from the European recognition that this kind of a rescue package that's been suggested for Greece and for Portugal and for Ireland and for Italy ultimately, because Italy has just passed an austerity package that the markets do not believe it will hold or that it's big enough. So therefore, I think that's why, as I said in the piece that I wrote, that the end game for Europe is very near.
And remind the audience again where they can get the piece that you wrote.
Well, it was just issued at the Huffington Post, but also it's at the Levy Economics Institute,
sure.
www.levy.org, and it's called End Game for the Euro.
Well, I thank you for joining us here today, Dimitri Papadimitriou, and for giving us an account on the ground from Greece. It's very helpful.
The pleasure is mine.
Again, I've been speaking with Dimitri Papadimitriou, who's president of the Levy Economics Institute and the Jerome Levy Professor of Economics at Bard College. He has testified on a number of occasions in hearings of the Senate and the House of Representatives committees of the U.S. Congress, and was vice chairman of the Trade Deficit Review Commission of the U.S. Congress, and was a member of the Competitive Policy Council's Sub-Council on Capital Allocation. He was also a distinguished scholar at the Shanghai Academy of Social Sciences. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking about the crisis in Yemen.